You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, you're watching the Best Practices Show. We take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. This is a crazy cool week. We are out here at the Seattle Study Club Symposium, 25th Anniversary Legacy Tour with some of the best experts in the world. And today you're going to love this. I got a good friend of mine, Dr. Jeffrey Boone, who is one of the most brilliant people in the world. And you'll see that here in a second. So do me a favor, hit the share button, and we'll see you in a few seconds.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you are looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practice Show. We're out here at the Seattle Study Club Symposium in Palm Springs, California, at the La Quinta with some of the best experts in the world and just enjoying it, as you're going to see here in a second. It's very cool, the people you get to meet while you're out here. And so, Dr. Boone, you and I have known each other forever, and or it seems like forever, but and I've actually been a patient of yours. You're one of the speakers that's been on the main stage for many, many years. I will say this, one of the world's most controversial, but cool, insightful cardiologists out there, and it's just so great the perspective you bring to all of these people in this conference. And so for those people that might not know who you are, tell us a little bit about who Dr. Jeffrey Boone is.
Well, Jeff Boone, I'm an MD. Our institute in Denver is called the Boone Heart Institute, and it's focused completely on the eradication of heart attack and stroke, which is often the opposite end of cardiovascular disease that most of healthcare is working on. Our goal would be that no one has heart attack, stroke, and then that's blended further into prevention of dementia, cancer, and other issues. And unfortunately, most of healthcare expertise and funding is at the end of life when things have gone wrong. And I think I can do what I do because they're doing a good job of what they do, but you need to get things done a lot earlier. And our whole practice is based on the early anatomic, physiologic, and biochemical identification of abnormalities and then correcting them long before they become trouble.
Right, and you have identified these markers long in advance, and your training is tremendous. I mean, you've had some of the best training in the world, going all the way back to Cooper. You've done it all, right? And when you put this all together, I remember the first time is cardiologists do spend so much time on the disease side, and you're completely on the other side of things.
Yes, and I kind of want the cardiology community to continue to be good at angiograms, stents, bypasses, pacemakers. Those take high skill. To prevent the disease takes an entirely different mindset, an entirely different goal set. And I was fortunate to actually go to medical school with that dream in mind, to eradicate heart attack and stroke. And most of the things that fix the problems with the ways that the heart can die young, the electricity, the plaque in the arteries, the heart muscle, heart failure, all those issues are very complicated when you try to fix them and save them, but very easy if you get started early with aggressive intervention. So I sort of redefine significant and aggressive.
Okay.
Many times in the cardiovascular healthcare community, significant disease, when they use that term, it usually means serious symptoms, chest pain, ambulances, emergency rooms. When I describe significant, it's that we've detected abnormalities that need to be embraced early.
Right.
And then aggressive care, once we've defined significant disease, which is, to me, something totally different than most cardiovascular doctors determine. Then aggressive care, again, doesn't require surgery, interventions, expense even. Aggressive care would be to identify early problems and then reverse them. And that's pretty easy to do, but it takes both the patient and the doctor to have a completely different mindset. Mm-hmm. As patients, it's often difficult because you want to be told that you're healthy.
Right.
And if you come and see me, I'm going to find 50 things that we need to correct. And it's just like anything you do, most people in their businesses have been successful because they've identified early problems right. And they've reversed them.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't that apply to not just fire prevention, right. But your health?
Right.
Not just your stock portfolio, but your health. Mm-hmm. And embracing abnormalities, I found even in my own life, it's a little bit of the grieving process when you find things wrong, but when you correct them, you're empowered to then reverse the process. And then my goal is to be on the cutting edge, so every 6 months our program gets better and better and better, we think, right. At identifying these abnormalities. And then the treatments, whether they be drug or non-drug intervention, vitamins, supplements, are better and better as well. So I think we're on the way to not only eradicating heart attack and stroke, but then the next frontier that we've been working on is the protection of the aging brain. Because I don't want a bunch of people just being alive mm-hmm. at 80 and 90. I want them to be vital, functional. We're going to have to revamp the entire system of retirement if I and my patients are successful.
Right.
We also may want different financial planning because you've got to have your money last longer as well.
Right. Well, it's true. I mean, we've got a huge problem with the aging population.
Yeah.
But as the age-old joke is, your body or your brain goes first, so why not have both of them
yes.
well into the days that you can enjoy them? And that's what you're all about.
Yeah, I completely believe that everything we're doing, and again, many experts around the country, I sort of gather their data, but filter them through my mindset.
Right.
Of how do we use these things early and not wait too late in the process. And I think the accomplishment in my work is with my patients that I want the last thing that they lose is their brain. Sometimes even I think I should partner with orthopedic surgeons mm-hmm. because if you never die of a heart attack and stroke and your brain's working well, you're going to need your hips replaced and your knees replaced and all those
right.
sorts of things. The skeleton wears out. So even at the other end of the life, fitness, nutrition, exercise, strength will help us enjoy being a very healthy, vital, smart 90-year-old, which I think is completely possible.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you're very good at this, you know, in the mindset thing. What are some of the misconceptions people have about their heart or arterial health? You know, you're big on that. We also talk about you're big on the debate between elasticity and then
yes.
you know the thickness. And again, I'm not a doctor, but give us some misconceptions that are common.
I would say typically from the hospitals and cardiovascular doctors all the way through internal medicine, family medicine, there tends to be this approach that thinks of what we would call blockages or lack of blood flow or ischemiology, meaning the arteries are so clogged that they cause chest pain, and if they're not that clogged, they are not significant in their
right.
in their abnormality. And I think that's a completely erroneous statement and process, yet it's permeated all of medicine.
Right.
The actual reimbursement from insurance all the way through hospitals is to take care of those very serious arteries. So if I were to look at a carotid artery, and a hospital were to look at a carotid artery, out of 100 people, the hospital and their related cardiovascular services might find one out of 100 people that actually needs surgery to clean out these arteries.
Mm-hmm.
And the neck and the heart are very similar.
Right.
Whereas I would look at the same 100 people and I would find that 50 of them have early plaque. So it's kind of odd that women are, for example, 9 times more likely to die of plaque in the arteries than they are of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yet if we see a very tiny breast lump, we do all sorts of fabulous things from ultrasound to biopsies to find out whether that lump is cancerous and to remove it.
Right.
And everybody's on board with that. Yet a woman is, again, 9 times more likely to die of plaque.
Mm-hmm.
Yet if the system were to test her carotid arteries as just being an easily accessible component of the vascular system, there's 60,000 miles of blood vessels in your body, and in 10 inches, if I find plaque, that is much worse than even finding breast cancer.
Right.
And I want to reverse that process early on, because that woman will someday most likely die of that plaque.
Mm-hmm.
But our approach is, oh, that's not significant. And we wait until it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And someday, we may do bypass, stroke care, stent. But about 50% of the people are either disabled or dead by the time that happens.
Right.
So if I attack plaque, which is just the linchpin, the peak of the mountain of all sorts of other cardiovascular abnormalities, and I don't let it ever grow, and I actually shrink it or reverse it with a variety of interventions, then they will never have heart attack, stroke. And then, by the way, the same blood is filtering through 30,000 miles of blood vessels in your brain, nurturing 100 billion brain cells. So it doesn't take a genius to start figuring out that I'll bet you we can save the brain while we're trying to save the blood vessels in the heart. And that seems to be the process that we're involved in.
Right. Now, go back to this. You used the word reverse because the question comes up. Can you reverse it?
Yes.
How much can we reverse it?
Yeah, because there's absolutely no doubt we can reverse it. Okay. For example, Crestor rosuvastatin, a drug that is among the statin group, the most fabulous drugs almost ever invented, next to probably penicillin. They get a lot of bad press because occasional people have muscle aches and pains, but in the process of determining their ability to save lives, they've shown dramatic ability to reverse. The most powerful being Lipitor, atorvastatin, Crestor rosuvastatin, are very powerful drugs, and they reverse plaque. Cleveland Clinic has shown on pullback analyses of the coronary arteries that you reverse plaque 0.9 cubic millimeters a year with Crestor rosuvastatin. So that shrinks. Not doesn't reverse in everybody, but the trend in mass studies is for that to be sure.
Right.
The people that do those studies then translate, if we reverse plaque, does that actually cause a reduction in heart attack and stroke? And I think any logical person would say yes, but the medical community needs years of data to actually show that reversing plaque is going to prevent heart attacks and strokes. Well, I don't need much data. I think anyone would realize that if that reverses plaque, you're likely to reverse heart attack and stroke, and that's been accomplished and now proven.
Yeah.
Statins reduce that quite dramatically, but I'm looking for 100% reduction. So statins may be 30-40% of it. I want 20-30% from blood pressure medicines, another 10-20-30% from aspirin and clot controlling medicine, another 10-20-30% from diabetic medicines.
Right.
And then overarching all that is lifestyle. Exercise, nutrition, weight control, stress management, smoking cessation. And I think if the population, the individual embraces all of that, they'll just have a fabulous success. And the actual success is not so much medical, but it's you get to play with your grandchildren.
Yeah.
You get to walk your daughter down the aisle, you know, different things like that are really the outcomes that people need to look for. And it's a daily adventure in accomplishing that. And then if you protect the arteries, the lining of the arteries, you're also protecting the heart muscle, which can get stiff, the heart's electrical system that can get frayed. And so there's a bunch of tissues that you're protecting. And interestingly, the same things that prevent heart disease are really on the list of things that prevent cancer. So while you're preventing heart disease, you're likely preventing that as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. And with all of the advancements in medicine and what's happening in this world, there's so many to consider, but it always comes back to preventive nature is just, it's the key. And really, you know, we can try to get tricky about this, but, you know, how receptive are people to your message? Do you find a lot or not so much?
I would say literally everyone that listens is receptive.
Yes.
And I'm starting to notice, I've been around long enough now that I've been talking like this for 30 years. And I was at a meeting of cardiologists in Denver the other day, and some of the older cardiologists that are getting ready to retire actually had me address their audience because they're saying, now, Dr. Boone's been doing this for 20 or 30 years, and we now really discover that he was right all along. So early detection prevention is not just a medical or an economic or a, you know, trying to build a clinic, or it's really chasing health. And that's the problem, is most of American discussion is around health care, which is totally different than health. Health care is a big money grab, but people looking for $1 trillion, and everybody's involved, from businesses that have to pay for it to insurance companies, hospitals. But if we could take that money and direct it toward health and have the incentives to accomplish that, we could have incredible success.
Yeah.
But then the whole economic system would have to change as well, because we got to figure out what to do with a bunch of healthy 85-year-olds. So if you listen to what I say, you can't be retiring at 65.
Right.
It's a brain drain to just go play golf at that point. You can still play golf, and you ought to slow down a little bit. My father's 93, and I told him, if you don't like being 93, quit doing all I tell you to do. But he's writing children's books and playing the national anthem at Coors Field in front of 50,000 people.
Yeah.
And I think that's more possible from people than you might think.
Right. And you do need pioneers like you. You decided a long time ago to stay away from the medical model, so you don't really deal with a lot of insurance companies telling you what to do and not do. And so you've been on this crusade for a long time, and I can speak as a firsthand. I went to your clinic. You spent the whole day with me. I was actually kind of nervous that you spent that much time. And when you took a look at all of the blood vessels through my heart, I mean, you had the world, one of the world's top image experts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 45 minutes going through every single critical vessel, which people don't have the ability to take that time anymore. And that's just a commitment you've made.
Yes. And I think that my work at one end ought to be at the pinnacle of being the best place in the entire world that you could come for preventive cardiology and preventive medicine. But then our other goal through our foundation, nonprofit, we test masses. Like today, my Boone Heart Institute is testing, 400 firefighters in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get the cost down to be very, very affordable. It's actually, on one end, the executive experience of a day, day and a half evaluation is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And that should keep getting better every 6 months as I discover new things. But then how do you translate that to being able to test mass numbers of employees?
Right.
And I think we see from some of the explosion of technology that I would say in a few years I'll be able to work with some company to image your neck arteries, put you through an entire algorithm, possibly take a few drops of blood, and have an entire personalized program for you. And much like one of our speakers yesterday said, on your phone, the CEO of Google and a small child in Africa have access to the exact same information.
Yes.
And I have a feeling that that's where our health work will go. And that kind of information will overpower insurance companies and hospitals and even medical schools. Because you may, in 20 or 30 years, come to me. You still need me to tell you what to do, but you may have, for very low cost, access to all sorts of genetic and anatomic and biochemical information about you. And immediately I help you with the algorithm of what to do to reverse all those abnormalities. And so I think the future is bright and the cost will continue to go down and it becomes for the masses.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible. What any last pieces of advice you'd share just on overall heart health? What can you anticipate to see in the future? Because you get a chance to be exposed to a lot of the thinking and technologies.
Yes, I think on one end there continue to be incredible technologies to fix the sick heart.
Mm-hmm.
But I think unlike many diseases, the ability to actually prevent these things from happening is, and you see it throughout history,
right.
1 out of 7 people in the history of the world has died of tuberculosis. Yet we don't deal with that much in America anymore. And so I think within 25 years, there's a possibility that bypass surgery may be a thing of the past, that we will have conquered atherosclerosis. There's a new drug that all of your listeners ought to be aware of called a PCSK9 inhibitor, proprotein convertase subtilisin kexin type 9 inhibitor. And those are little things that destroy receptors that skim cholesterol out of your bloodstream. An injection protects you from those genes that destroy cholesterol receptors, and all of a sudden plaque melts away 7 to 10 times faster even than Crestor can accomplish. Now that is what's possible in the future, and those drugs will continue to be developed to be an adjunct to our care. And so I think there's a lot of great things on the horizon, and cardiovascular health will totally change over the decades. But I look forward to a time when we're working on some other aspect. Our valves have to beat a million times every couple of weeks. So I hope most cardiologists in 20 or 30 years are working on how to keep our valves lasting longer and other issues. But the atherosclerosis, I think, like tuberculosis, may be able to be cured if you really want to cure it.
Yeah.
And I think the population will eventually find that if you clean out the arteries, you clean out the brain, and all of a sudden you're having a great life at 80, 85.
Absolutely. And I think that's what we all want. We are so grateful for your research.
All right.
You're leading the charge. If you haven't seen Dr. Boone speak, you have to see him speak. And if you're on the fence and thinking about taking care of yourself, and a great place to do it is, if people wanted to follow you, find out a little bit more about you, explain to them the executive experience, where are you guys at?
Yes, a lot of our work is word of mouth, and we test the Broncos and NFL alumni and the Rockies, but it's sort of word of mouth as people discover that there is a new and a better way to go on top of your excellent medical care and insurance and all that sort of thing. So BooneHeart.com would give you kind of an overview of our whole story. And there's a few of my lectures on there that are kind of a good way to kind of get to know me and know our philosophy. So BooneHeart.com, and certainly on that website you can contact me. At this point, I see pretty much every patient personally, and then we craft our testing so that it can be developed to go to cities and test entire corporations with the same type of philosophy.
Absolutely.
So we'll look forward to talking to some of your listeners.
Absolutely. So check it out. You have to go, and you've been here checking the overall health and, artery health for years and years and years, and I know you've helped a ton of people here, so thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
For us. So if you have questions, continue to add to them to the feed. We'll see if we can't get you the right answer. Check Dr. Boone out. And thank you guys very much for watching today. If you enjoyed today, do us a huge favor. Just hit the share button, share with your friends. And we look forward to seeing you next time on the Best Practice Show. You guys have a great rest of your day.